God, we are so thankful for your promises. God, we're thankful that you're faithful. And sometimes, Father, it seems tough. But God, in the end, you are always, always faithful, and we're so thankful for that. God, we're thankful that you lead and guide and direct each and every step that we take. And Father, we're thankful that you have a plan and purpose for each of us. And God, right now, as these little kids are getting ready to go to Sunday school, God, we pray that you would bless them today, Father. Father, pour your spirit out on them. God, open their minds and calm their spirits, Father, so that they can know you in a new and deep way. God, we pray that you would just encourage their teachers, Father, give them the wisdom to know how to speak to them and what they need to hear today, Father. Prepare their hearts, Father. And Father, I pray for us here as a church, God, that we would be an example to these kids, Father, so that they can know what it means to walk in a bold faith. Father, that we wouldn't cower, that we wouldn't be fearful, but Father, we would be bold in our faith and we would be willing to share it with others and willing to share it with them, God. God, that we would encourage these little ones in your ways, Jesus. That we would walk with them and encourage them and bless them. Father, be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can be seated, and the kids can go with Stacy, I think. Thank you, team. Ella, can I get you to turn on the back light all the way on? There we go. Okay. Well, this potluck next Sunday keeps sitting here and staring at me, so I'll remind you once again, potluck next Sunday. If you're wondering what to bring, let me know, and I can definitely give you some ideas of what I like. No pressure. I don't even know what we're going to bring. So we're going to talk today about exponential. Boy, did I have a spelling mistake? I don't think so. Does that look right? Exponential faith. Seeds of faith. And I had a really nice picture, and I'll tell you a story quickly. Is I had a nice picture of some lovely hands holding some grain that Mary sent me. I think, I don't know if they're her hands or if they're Megan's hands. Oh, they're Nathan's hands. Oh, that's awkward. Just teasing. I had it up there, and I had a whole joke, and it would have been great, but I decided I was going to be an early adopter of updates for the software we use, and that means I get to trial them, which also means I get opportunities to have bugs when I find them. And I updated everything on Friday and didn't put my stuff in because I had a couple tweaks I wanted to do on my slides. And I came in this morning and tried to update and put my stuff on, and it wouldn't work and wouldn't work. And then panic came upon me, and I'm like, oh, this is why you don't be an early adopter to software. So I did a couple tweaks, and we made it the slides with this, which I don't mind. It gives us our fun motion backgrounds. So I got a story before we talk about this for you guys, because I like telling stories. How many of you like to watch volleyball? What? Come on, guys. Make my girls feel better. So I went to a volleyball, watched the girls play in a volleyball tournament yesterday in Davidson, and the Ryder game was on at the same time. And it was ugly game. And I don't know what the score was at that point in time, but there was another turnover. And apparently when their girls are serving volleyballs, it's like tennis or golf where everybody's quiet. People are talking and it's loud, and they go up to the line and they do their 15 bounces and turns and everything that the girls do when they play volleyball. And just then, as she's about to serve, the Riders gave up the ball and a turnover. And I yell, "Come on!" loud enough so everybody in the entire gym hears me. And the girl totally flubs her serve, and I felt awful. But I didn't know. Nobody tells me you're supposed to be quiet. I thought this was a sport. Like, let's be loud. But everybody just goes quiet. And it's a hush over the gym. Can you blame me? It was 31-0. Man. So, yes, so be quiet if you're watching volleyball. Just a heads up. Or else they'll kick you out of the gym, make you sit in the vehicle by yourself. They didn't really. They made me stay in the gym until 7:30 last night. So exponential faith is what we're going to talk about. And I think for the most part, this sermon is a sermon for all of us. But it's a sermon mostly for people that might feel like you're settling sometimes in life. You believed at one point or another in your life that God was going to do something amazing. You get saved and you're like, okay, God's going to save my family, or I'm going to get healed, or this or that. And you would pray, you had faith for miracles, and you believe for a movement of God. Or maybe, I don't remember what year, it was like 97 to early 2000s, there was that little book, The Prayer of Jabez. Did anybody ever get that book or read that book? And it was, enlarge my territory, God. Bless me in many ways, God. Use me to make a difference and an impact. And then life just kind of happened, right? And maybe not much went down in your life spiritually, or maybe you started to settle on things that were spiritual. And you're like, well, this is just how things have to be, I guess. Maybe you went a significant time and you just didn't see any change in things that you're praying for. And you're like, well, I guess I have to settle for the consolation prize. Maybe you were praying like, God, just do something. God, just do anything. Maybe you're one of those ladies in here when you were younger and you're praying for a husband and you're like, God, bring me a husband. Bring me a man. God, like, I'm not asked for much. 6'3", totally ripped. Likes long walks on the beach. Likes to take me for movies and spoil me and all these sorts of things. And then a year goes by and another year, and you're like, God, just a man. Doesn't even need a job. That's optional. 5 feet, fine, whatever. And you start settling. We don't need to settle, is the purpose of that. God has a plan, and he does not want us to have second best. God, I want this, but it's not happening. You know how it is. Or God, I need this. I feel like this needs to happen, but it's not happening. So we're going to talk today for those of us who have maybe lowered our expectations, who have settled of what God might do. And I want to give you a thought. And this is a thought that we're going to come through a couple times. I have this slide, I think, 3 or 4 times today. And the thought is this. You have no idea what God can produce in your life through a single seed planted in faith. You have no idea what God can do. When Nathan's out there planting a harvest, or planting, I guess, his field before the harvest, when you're out there planting your field, Nathan, do you put out as many seeds as you expect to get back? But you don't put equal seed to equal response. You expect it to multiply, right? So we're going to talk about a couple from the Old Testament. Maybe you've heard of them, maybe you haven't. Abraham and Sarah. Abram and Sarai was their original names. And that's my accent, so that's as close as it's going to get. But they had a dream that they were, like a lot of other couples, to have children. And unfortunately, they just couldn't conceive children. All of their friends were having babies. They were walking the camel down the street, and there's their friend, Joe. Couple new kids. I don't know what other animals are in the desert, so I'm really not good with this part, but their camel was their pet, let's say. Maybe Abraham and Sarah were riding the camel to the drive-in theater. And all of a sudden, they kept coming across all their friends, all these kids. All their friends were having babies, and they just couldn't, and they were devastated. Then God speaks to them and challenges them with this massive step of faith. And it's recorded in Genesis 12. And I want to tell you what happened in Genesis 12. Then we're going to jump to Genesis 15. I don't have Genesis 12 on a slide, but I'm going to tell you the story a little bit. God says to Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to make you into a great nation. And another time, God says to him, you're going to be the father of many nations. And they hear this, and immediately they get excited and stirred. And they're like, "There, God says it's going to happen. He said it's going to happen. Now it's going to happen. We're going to be parents." And they're excited. And this is the news they've been waiting for forever. Years of watching their friends have children. So immediately, as soon as God tells them this, they start picking names. And maybe they're Googling names and checking out, okay, what does David mean? Oh, beloved one. What is, our kids like to Google their names and figure out what their names mean. And what does John mean? What does Joe mean? And they're Googling names. They go and start picking out nursery themes for their new nursery, that for the new baby they're going to have. And they start converting the tent, and Abraham gets in a renovation mode and converts the tent and makes a room just for the nursery in the tent. This is what's happening in Genesis 12, in case you didn't read it. I'm paraphrasing. And they wait. And a month goes by, and she's not pregnant. Okay, well, you know, God said it's going to happen, so it's going to happen. And another month goes by, and she's not pregnant. And another month goes by, and she's not pregnant. And 4 months happen, and then 5 months, and 6 months, and 7 months, and 8 months, and 9 months, and 10 months, and 11 months, 12 months. You get this, how this goes, right? She's not pregnant. And this goes on. And they start to doubt. And they start lowering their expectations. So this is for those that have lowered expectations of what God can really do in our lives. Genesis 12, what do we see? We see God making a promise to Abraham and Sarah, right? I just paraphrased it. That was the DAM version. I don't know what the A stands for, but Dave Misko version. You can't buy that in stores either. So Genesis 12, God makes a promise. Then we jump to Genesis 15, and we read in verse 1, some time later. I'm going to ask you guys, do you feel like sometimes right now you're living in the sometime later piece? You're waiting. Sometime later, the Lord speaks to Abraham. When is sometime later? How long is that? We don't really know. We have no clue how long sometime later is. Some people believe it was a decade, so 10 years. Some believe it was many decades. If you talk to biblical scholars, they'll tell you it was multiple decades sometime later. So not 10 years, but maybe 20, 30, maybe 40 years. So let's read Genesis 15, 1 and 2. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you, and your reward will be great." But Abram replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son?" A decade or more of unfulfilled promises, unrealized expectations. Where are you, God? Why aren't you doing what I thought you were going to do, God? And some of you have your own version of this. God, where are you? I've been waiting, I've been praying, and nothing. Nothing, God. Where are you? Why aren't you doing what I thought you were going to do, God? God, you promised. This is your promise, God. You said, God, I distinctly thought I heard your voice. You see, from Abram's point of view, nothing was happening. And there was a promise and a lot of time, but no evidence that God was working. No evidence that God was at work. No evidence that God was doing something. Nothing. Instead of being a father to many nations, or to a great nation, sorry, instead of that, the promise that God told him, Abram lowered his expectations in that verse. I don't even have a son. I'm going to lower my expectations. God, just give me a son. Just one son. But God promised him to be the father of a great nation. And all he could see was one son. That's all he wanted. May I remind you something that I said earlier? You have no idea what God may produce through a single seed planted in faith. Can you say that with me? Faith. That's all I want you to say. Faith. Say it, guys. I'm not going to stop. Faith. See, you have no idea what God can produce through a single seed planted in faith. See, this is a message for a lot of us, I think, that we've started to lower our expectations of what God may do. Abraham was told he was going to be a father to a great nation, and he just started thinking about that son. He lowered that expectation. And when it comes to faith, when it comes to life, when it comes to God's blessings, we tend to think addition, don't we? God, can I have just a little more? Can I have one son? And we always think addition. We never think the way God thinks. And maybe you don't know where I'm going with this. But when we think, God, enlarge my territory, maybe we have 5 acres and maybe we're thinking we're going to get one more acre. It's kind of what I'm thinking. We always think small is what I'm trying to say. Do you understand that? We think small. We always think addition. But our God doesn't think in addition. Our God thinks in multiplication. We think addition, but God always thinks multiplication. Do you believe me on that? Because here's what I read in the Bible, in the Garden of Eden. What did God say to Adam and Eve? Be fruitful and multiply. He didn't say be fruitful and add. God said be fruitful and multiply. That's a bad joke. I'm not even going to tell it. God said that a sower, a Nathan, a guy who goes out and plants for harvest, or plants whatever, you know what I mean, who plants the seeds. I'm not going to try my farmer talk. And he goes out and sows some seeds, and some seed didn't produce a single return on a single seed invested. Jesus said some seed produced a harvest of 30 times the return. Some 60 times and some 100 times. A single seed planted had an exponential multiplying return of 100-fold of that one seed that was planted in the ground. You have no idea what God may produce through a single seed planted in faith. So Abram and Sarah wanted the son. And a decade passed, and they didn't see anything. Another decade passed, and they didn't see anything. I don't know. How many of you guys here have been maybe praying for something? You're not seeing anything right now. You're not seeing what you've been asking for. You know, maybe you see the odd thing happening, but it hasn't happened. I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you guys, okay? That's how I feel right now with my house. I'm like, God, you sent us here. You still haven't sold my house. Serious. Like, God, I'm not sure if you know this, but I got a house for sale in Lloydminster that I need to sell. And the next day I said, God, like, serious. I don't know. I might not have a good connection on my iPhone, but I have a house for sale in Lloydminster. I think you know the address, but I'll tell you the address again. God, I need this address sold. And we've been believing that God would do something. That God maybe would hear your prayer. And God would change something. God would bring a miracle. God would move upon someone. God would make a provision for what you've been praying for, what you've been believing. And you feel like nothing has happened. God, where are you? I don't see anything, God. How many of you feel like that sometimes in your life? Yeah, it happens. It happens to all of us at some point. You're like, God, but this is what I prayed. Why? I got something to tell you guys about that. Just because you don't necessarily see something happening doesn't mean that God isn't doing something. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean God's not doing it. Just because you don't see it happening doesn't mean God's not doing it. A seed is planted in the ground. Do you see what's happening to that seed as soon as it's planted in the ground? But you have faith that something is happening, don't you? You have no idea what God may produce for a single seed planted in faith. You don't know what's going on below there. Anybody here Gideon? Oh, funny how that happens. Can you come up here for a second? I was hoping my father-in-law was going to be here so I didn't have to harass you. I'm sorry. Can you unmute this mic? Oh, there we go. Lyle has no idea what I'm asking him up here to do. Sorry, Lyle. So, Lyle, when you hand out Bibles, what do you believe you're doing? What are you doing with when you're handing out Bibles?
We are spreading the word of God.
So why do you hand them out?
Well, we believe because the Bible has a lot of answers to life's questions and problems, and the message of salvation is in there. It's very plain.
Yep. So do you hand them out thinking you're going to get no return?
Absolutely not. We expect a hundredfold return. That's what we pray for.
Exactly. So you pray before you give out Bibles, probably.
We do.
And you're praying for a hundredfold return.
That's right.
But you have no idea the seed that's spreading out, where it's landing.
Not at all.
But you're trusting God for that return. You have faith.
Absolutely.
Thank you. See, Gideon's handout Bibles at schools, at colleges. And when Gideon's handout Bibles, it's like sowing seeds. You don't know if it's going to land on good ground or bad ground, but you do it, you pray, you prepare, and you know that God is going to bring a return from that, and you have faith. The cool thing about Gideons is they never get to see the return that seed bears. They just give them away in faith, and they trust. I have a story I was going to read. I apologize. So, I read this book. And I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to tell you who it is. But it says, "Who needs a Bible?" And it says, "I vividly remember the first step of faith I took toward God. I was a sophomore in college, and I wasn't a follower of Christ yet. Far from it. I was vice president of my fraternity chapter that year, and we were in hot water for our outrageous behavior. We were in so much trouble that the college considered closing our chapter down. Our fraternity had already had a couple meetings to discuss what we could do to appease everybody, but none of us had any really good ideas. For some time, I'd been thinking about how I could start exploring what God was all about. And suddenly, I recognized I had the opportunity to kill two birds with one stone. So I went to my drinking buddy fraternity brothers with a radical proposal. Listen, guys, I think I know what we should do. Let's start a Bible study. Several of the guys groaned and rolled their eyes. Are you smoking weed? No way, man. No, really, I mean it, I insisted. Let's just think this through. We need a really good public relations move, right? What could improve our image better than starting a Bible study? The pushback was immediate. Nobody's going to fall for that. And besides, none of us want to do that. A Bible study? Are you crazy? But being the vice president had its advantages. No, I'm not. And yes, we're going to do it. So Tuesday night at 7, starting this week, we're going to have our first Bible study. They weren't happy, but they could tell I wasn't going to back down. Unfortunately, it was about midday on that Tuesday afternoon before it finally occurred to me what I lacked, at least one prerequisite for conducting a Bible study. I didn't have a Bible. Today, we take for granted that we have Bibles everywhere and online Bibles with hundreds of versions online that we could choose from. But that day, all I could think was, where am I going to get a Bible from for tonight? I was still mumbling on my way across campus to class when I noticed an older gentleman walking down the sidewalk towards me. He wore a suit and a tie and a broad, warm smile. As he approached, our eyes met and he said, "Young man, would you like a free Bible?" My brain felt like it was overheating. How could this guy possibly know I need a Bible? Do I look like I need a Bible? Is it really that obvious? I blurted something along the lines of, yes, please, I need a Bible. And he handed me a tiny paperback book, small enough to fit in my pocket and walk away still smiling. I later learned that this man was a Gideon, a volunteer with Gideon's International, an organization who distributes free Bibles all over the world. And just like that, God provided me the Bible I needed. Even though I didn't know him, yet a few hours later, I strolled into my first ever Bible study, brand new Bible in hand, where 7 of my party buddies, none of whom were Christians, were waiting for me. If God could provide me with a Bible so easily, I couldn't wait to see what he had in store for this little gathering. It's a pretty neat story. In this book, he also goes on to talk about when he started reading the Bible, and he read Matthew, and at the end, they killed Jesus. And then at the end of Luke, they killed Jesus, and he rose again. And then at the end of John, they killed Jesus, and they're like, he said, doesn't he see this coming? He didn't realize they're the same story told from different perspectives. You have no idea what God may produce through a single seed planted in faith. That story, you may have heard of the guy, but his name is Craig Groeschel. Pastor at a pretty big church in the States. Maybe you have the YouVersion Bible on your phone, the YouVersion app. His church is the one that created that. When they first came up with the idea to put it on your app, people were like, no. We should charge 99 cents a Bible. We can keep funding our church. We can do more stuff. And you know what Craig's answer was? No. We're giving it away for free because the thing that changed my life, that Bible that changed my life, was given to me for free as well. Like a seed in the ground, you don't know what's working. We don't see it working. What you don't understand is God is still sending the sun. God is still sending the rain. Just because you don't see it breaking through the ground doesn't mean that it's not taking root. Something is happening. Long before you ever see the fruit of God's work, God's got to cause it to take root. So just because you haven't seen the fruit doesn't mean that it's not taking root. You have no idea what God can do through a single seed planted in faith. Abraham had the same problem that many of us have. He had very limited perspective. He had very limited perspective. And Abraham, he was in a tent. He was in his tent and he was telling God what he did not see. God, I don't see you working here. God, we prayed, you told us, and I don't see it happening, God. You told me this many nation stuff, God. I don't see even a son, God. Any of you relate? God, I'm buried in debt. God, the report from the doctor came back. It's not good, God. God, I still don't have an offer on my house. God, my wife is driving me crazy. God, I don't know if you're paying attention, but it's not good right now. God, I don't see you anywhere. God, you're not doing what you told me you were going to do. Or God, you're not doing what I wanted, what I prayed for, what I need. And what I hope is that you'll remember this. If God met your expectations every single time, then he can never exceed them. You know what that means? It means if you only expect God to meet your expectation, what you've asked him for, he's never going to exceed them. God wants to exceed your expectations. He doesn't just want to meet your expectations. God thinks multiplication when you're thinking addition. And Abraham had the same problem. So Abraham in his tent, telling God what he did not see. And in verse 5 of chapter 15 we read, then the Lord took Abram outside. Wouldn't you like to know what that looked like? The Lord takes him outside. Get out here, Abram, right now. I'm going to count to 5, Abram. If you're not out here, we need to have a talk, a little heart-to-heart, Abram. And the Lord meets Abram and takes him outside. Guys, this is what today is about. It's time to get outside of our limited perspective, our limited thinking, our small-minded thinking. We don't need to worry about our unmet expectations because God has a plan to exceed our expectations. Abram's in the tent. God, I don't see what you're doing. And perhaps at some point, while he's bringing him out, God's telling him, Abram, my thoughts aren't like yours. My ways aren't like your ways, Abram. As high as the heavens are from the earth, so are my ways higher than yours. My thoughts are higher than yours. So what does Genesis 15:5 tell us? Tells us this. The Lord took him outside and said, gaze into the sky and count the stars. If you are able to count them, then he said to them, so will your descendants be. Think about that for a moment. When God took Abram outside of his tent and told him this, Abram was probably shaken up. Maybe he was silenced. What did he, I don't know. Maybe he was saying, I'm sorry, God. I was only thinking addition. I was thinking a son, and you were thinking multiplication. God, you were thinking of a nation when I could only think of one son. Now, here's the thing, guys. What I hope you understand is each and every one of you is one of those stars. Each and every star, when Abram went out to try to count, you were one of them. You're a seed of Abraham. You're a seed of Abraham. That should get you excited. There's a Bible verse that talks about that, and there's a song. Mary, did you practice your song? No. Okay, then we'll start with the Bible verse. Galatians 3:29 says what? And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. That's scripture. That's not Dave's version. That's scripture. It's not a paraphrase. Heirs according to the promise. Here's the thing. Not sure if you guys have heard this before, but you have no idea what God may produce through a single seed planted in faith. You're a seed of Abraham. That means we're descendants of Abraham. What does that mean? It means every promise that was given to Israel is a promise for us. We need to stand on those promises. I've heard people say, well, that doesn't apply to you. That was for God's people. That was for the Israel. That was intended for Abraham's descendants. I'm Abraham's descendant. It applies to me. If somebody wants to say that, then that's their problem. They can live with unbelief, I guess. If they don't want to stand in belief and know that we have promises that we can stand on, I don't know. I read scripture and there's a lot of cool promises for the people of Israel. For Abraham's descendants. Abraham's descendants. Right? Who's excited about that? That should be something we're excited about. Now the song. Who knows this song? Oh, Nathan, come on up. I got a microphone. Just kidding. Just kidding. So we're going to sing the song. We're just going to sing a little bit of it, okay? So if you can stand, stand with me. We're going to stand. I'm going to make you guys get up. We're going to sing this. We're only going to do a little bit, but if you know the actions, do the actions. Ready? Nora, stand up. Ready? Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord, right arm. That's all we're going to do. We're one of Abraham's descendants. All those promises we can stand on. Here's the thing. If God met your expectations, he's never going to exceed them. Abraham thought of a son. God was thinking of us. That should excite you. God was thinking of us when he told Abraham, count those stars. Thousands and thousands of years later, God was thinking about us. You can never measure God's unlimited power by your limited expectations, people. You may not see it today. You may not see it next week. You may not see it in a decade, but you need to stand firm on faith that God has a plan. Because thousands and thousands of years later, do you think Abram ever thought, oh, there's going to be Dave Misko in Rosetown Community Church? Yeah, that's one of my descendants. And who else is there? Oh, there's Mel. Yeah. Wow, I thought Mel would have more hair. Just kidding, Mel. Do you think that? God was thinking about us. Abraham had no idea. But God was thinking about us. We need to have faith and stand on our faith. It may take years for that seed to take root and produce fruit. But one gift given can initiate an explosion of spiritual fruit. God can multiply what is given back to your life. It might not happen immediately all the time. So this is a message for those of you guys that have maybe lowered your expectations. Maybe decided, I'm just going to settle. God, I just need $10 just to get through this next paycheck, just so I can pay this bill. Where God wants to eliminate your debt for you. I remember when I blew my knee out the first time in high school and standing there and praying and, you know, asking God. And all of a sudden, one day, it was like it cracked, and I had no more pain ever again until I fell off my boat. That's another story. But when I went to get checked up by the doctor, guess what he said? Something's weird. The ligament's not, doesn't look torn anymore. Didn't happen right away, but it happened. There was roots being taken down. How do you ever reap a harvest? What do you need to do? Plant a seed. Plant a seed. What does Matthew 17:20 say? It says, you don't have enough faith, Jesus told him. I tell you the truth. If you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. Here's the thing. Faith the size of a mustard seed. How big is a mustard seed? Pretty small. Small seed. The smallest seed. And if you've ever seen a poppy seed, it's smaller than that. And poppy seeds are pretty darn small. We just need a little bit of faith to trust in God, to allow Him to make things happen. See, here's the thing. When we pray and we give it to God and have faith that He is going to do something, you know what happens? Our God goes to work. Our God is working. Our God is with you. Our God is powerful. He is the God of salvation. He's the God of forgiveness. He is the God of breakthroughs. He's the God of miracles. You have no idea what our God can do, what He can produce through a single seed planted in good faith. If you started to lower your expectations of God, understand this. If you hear nothing else today, you need to hear this. God's promises are true. God's promises are true. God's word is alive. And His presence is with us today. Everywhere we go, He is with us. We serve a God who can do exceedingly and abundantly more, Scripture tells us. Do we not? More than we could ever imagine. More than we can ever comprehend. Our God is able. I'm excited. I'm yelling. I'm not yelling angrily. My wife will ask me later, why were you yelling? Because it's exciting, isn't it? First off, we're a descendant of Abraham. That means every promise that He gave Israel is for us, right? Our God is at work in our lives, right? Those are good things to be excited about. He can do exceedingly and abundantly more. Not addition. Stop thinking addition. Start thinking multiplication. We serve a God who can do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask, think, or imagine. According to His power, He is at work within His church so that He would be glorified for all generations. I don't know if you heard this. I'm not sure if you guys know, but you have no idea what God can do through a single seed planted in faith. And you haven't figured it out yet. Your life is that seed. You're that seed. You have no idea how many lives you can touch, how many people you can reach, how many lives you can impact, how much glory can be brought through God, through one seed, through your life. God always thinks multiplication, doesn't He? Because you have no idea what God can do through one seed. One seed. One seed planted in faith. Guys, one seed. One seed. Are you willing to be that one seed? Remember, you have all the promises of Israel. It says there in Scripture. Can we pray? Let's pray. God, we thank You. God, we love You. We honor You, Father. God, we trust you for everything you do in our life. Guys, I'm going to give you a chance right now. And if maybe you feel like you've been settling, maybe if you feel like you've been not trusting God, not giving him all, maybe doubting some of the things that he might have been saying, why don't you throw up your hand right now? Guys, our God is able. Let's pray right now. Father God, we thank you for these hands that have gone up. God, we pray that you would just change their perspective, change their mindset, change their thought process, Father, to know that you have a plan, you can do exceedingly well. When we put our faith in you, we have no idea what you can do, and we trust you, God, that your plan is going to exceed our expectations. God, encourage us. Let us stay focused fully on you. Father, we doubt sometimes that you want to reach our town, God. Father, we believe right now for this community to be saved in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we believe that people are going to come through those doors and want to hear about how good you are, God. Father, we thank you. God, we pray for the people that put their hands up just now. God, we pray that you would encourage them, bless them, strengthen them. Father, allow them to stay focused on you. And if there's anybody in this room right now that needs to accept Jesus, I'm going to give you an opportunity to put up your hand now. Guys, would you repeat with me? Dear Jesus, Father, thank you for changing my heart. God, I pray that you would wash over my spirit and make me new in Jesus' name. Thank you for dying on the cross, Jesus. I pray that you come into my heart. Thank you for making me new. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you know the song? Do you know how to play it? Okay. I'm going to ask John to lead us in Father Abraham. Guys, stand up. Let's sing the song. You all know the words. Just lead us through a couple times, okay? Okay.